gang to marooned at MacBite's headquarters day 108. I'm quite used to the 100 now, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Do you realise how close we are to the MacBite's number? Just saying. Mustn't get Jonathan giddy. Good evening, Jonathan. How are you? How was work today? Let us know. I've been all over the place today, but I have literally just caught up with the news that there is potentially a new iMac on the way. Finally have news of it. 5 minutes ago. Various rumours have suggested Apple has a new family of iMac models on the way. Ahead of the official release, new benchmarks have surfaced that allegedly show a new iMac powered by Intel's Core i9 with the AMD Radeon Pro GPU. Ooh! Big decisions to be made. I'd want to wait. Oh, but could I afford to wait? Not a bad day fixing dinner. Ooh, tuna. I like tuna. Mike does not like tuna.
No, I don't like tuna.
Yeah, but Jonathan, like he says, CBA making anything else. I know that feeling. It's still oppressively warm here. And what has Madam been up to? She's in the studio with us. She's looking up at the screen, Jonathan. Yes, you are, aren't you? Shall I tell him what you did, apart from making a raucous racket in the garden with your new football?
She was playing football.
She was playing football. Yes, but it wasn't just that, was it, madam? No. You've just turned your nose up at perfectly good treats. But if I... She has these rodeo sticks, which are basically like some chewy thing wrapped around each other. I've had to pull them apart and then break them into individual pieces and put them on the floor. And now she's eaten the lot. As I said to her, you'll have me eating them next. But she also ate the chew stick that she didn't want to know about at all. Finished off with that. Pretty much like us, she can't be bothered. Hello, Paul. Have you seen the new iMac? Well, allegedly new iMac. I will put the link in. There we go. Decisions. Mind you, I specced one up the other day and I got it to just over the 4,000 mark. Could do with being able to grow extra kidneys. Would solve a problem. Would definitely solve a problem. Apparently they're on the loose in benchmarks, but not actually officially announced yet. But we were all agreed that that's what they were. So we're bound to be iMacs incoming. It says yet to be announced, which is true. They want to let the dust settle on WWDC first. And then I'm reckoning a very, very low-key announcement because they won't want to be accused of profiteering before they bring in their ARM chips. Which actually takes me on to another story that I saw today about Apple. Naughty, naughty Apple. Let's get my link up so I can see that one, which was this one about a yoga app. What's the yoga app called? Does it say? It says yoga app. It doesn't say which one. Ah, Down Dog. That's a brilliant name. I can't help feeling with this one that the developer is right. Basically, this Down Dog app gives you a 7-day trial, and at the end of it, the user would be automatically charged. Only they decided, Down Dog, that they would give you the 7-day trial, but not automatically charge you. So that's obviously something that can happen that they write into the app. But Down Dog then wrote on Twitter and said, Apple is rejecting our latest update because we refuse to automatically charge at the end of our free trial. They can choose to steal from their customers who forget to cancel, but we won't do the same thing to ours. This is a line we will not cross. Not good. This is typical of Apple. You could say they're helping the developer out by pointing this out to him. But if they won't allow the app in the store unless they do automatically charge after 7 days. That's not good. I've just taken up a trial, and it didn't mention being automatically charged at the end of it. But that's the story. Has this happened to anybody? Hello, Kim. What's going on now? Not more of a crisis. Apparently America's got all of the drugs. And the UK, no. Even though we were part of the trial. That's kicked it off on the BBC. They're self-righteously indignant. Good evening, Pete. What day do you go to the polls? The big one where you vote or don't vote for Trump. That's November sometime, Jonathan. Isn't it... Is it early November or late November? It won't be Thanksgiving, although there'll be a big Thanksgiving, depending on which way it goes. First Tuesday after the first Monday in November. Just to be complicated, Paul. Early dues, then. Apple News release about... I'll get that link there, Paul, and I will have a look at that later. They don't make it easy, do they, when you're trying to work out what you need and what you don't need. Could be a whole lot easier. Hang on, what are you automatically playing for? Stop it. They will release macOS for Intel Macs for years to come. Not Intel Macs. I will watch that. How long is it? Oh, that's long, isn't it? I will have a watch of that later. Sometimes your birthday is before and sometimes after. It is a bit odd, isn't it? The first Tuesday after the first Monday. So sometimes it could be the second Tuesday. If the first Tuesday was the first. Just to confuse things. The 10th of November. It's around then, Jonathan, but we don't get to vote. We've got enough trouble with our lot. Look who we voted in. The same ones get in every time, really, don't they? There's very little change. Mind you, some people just won't stand, and I'm not surprised with the abuse they get. These mats are working well, Mike. Look, all the water's on the mat, not the desk.
Yeah,
rather pleased with that. Yes, I've been buying things and didn't do an unboxing. Naughty me, but I'll show you. Good evening, Simon. You like to watch those things during the night. You wanted to take the right day off. We do that with ours, don't we, Jonathan? With usually increasing incredulity as it happens.
I take it that was you?
What?
Buying on my Amazon account.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was me. It's all right. It wasn't anything naughty.
Dioralite.
Yes.
It doesn't say. It just says £6. Two items, £6.
So it probably is Dioralite, isn't it? You know me. You have to place the order when you can place the order.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They only let you order 2 packets a week. So obviously I have to order them on Mike's account as well. That way I can get 4 packets a week. Very, very annoying.
4 busted items.
Yes, 4 individual items. So Kim gets to vote by mail. We can do that, but we have to register for it, which is going to be interesting. Because our elections, our local elections, were put off from May, if you recall. The local councils just decided they just wouldn't bother for a year. But we will probably have to re-register in September. Now, Mike and I don't usually register for a postal vote. We usually walk round with the dog, don't we?
We do.
And then everybody bills and coos over the dog. We do the dogs at polling station things, don't we, Lola? Oh, you're awake and licking your paw. Look at that. She's cleaning her face. You're so cute. But this time I'm thinking, do I want to really go anywhere where there's people to vote? Answer to that was no.
No.
We'll probably ask for a postal vote this time. Never, ever done that. My grandmother did, but it was much stricter back in the day. You know, you really were expected to go out and do the decent thing. The trouble is that annoys me, and you know what I'm like, Mike. It's like, don't tell them. Don't tell them, Pike. When you get there, there's usually some, usually middle-aged woman, outside saying, who are you going to vote for? And you're like, really? They do. And the idea is they either ask you for your number or ask you who you're going to vote for. Now, your number is your voting number. And from your voting number, they can tell where you live. And the idea is that the person who's there will have some kind of badge on. So some affiliation with one of the parties that are standing. But they won't come round knocking on your door asking you if you're going to vote, because they will have known that you have been to vote. But I don't like that, full stop. So I always pretend I haven't got the card with me. Bizarrely, in this country, you don't actually need anything with you to go and vote. You literally walk to the polling station, you walk in, and they say to you, what's your address? And you tell them, and they use a pen to put a line through the address and give you a ballot paper. There's no ID, no polling cards, no nothing. When's that going to stop, Mike? Because it's just ripe for abuse.
It's I was going to say.
you think about it now. Impersonation. Really? How long has this been going on? I mean, at one point, obviously, after Dad died, we had to take his name off the electoral roll. No issues with that. But when we came to take Mum off, her name was Eileen and my name, Elaine. They got confused and took the both of us off. And of course, if you're not registered to vote, you're in big trouble for that. So I'm like, why have you taken me off? That only left Mike. So I had to put myself back on again. So it was all a bit of a problem. So when we went round to vote, they'd managed, after they put me back, to put her back. So when I said E. Giles, she said Eileen or Elaine. And I said, you're kidding me. So my mum was still on this thing to vote 6 months after she died. So, you know, I could have just said to somebody, oh, just go in and say you're Eileen, and they could have voted. It's prime for voter fraud. I don't know how they get away with it, but yeah, I think we'll be doing the remote thing this year. No change in mortality, just resolve symptoms faster. I did think the price was astronomic, Pete. I looked at it and one mentioned £430 for something. And then when they talked about this one, they said it was like 1,200. But the BBC were putting something else up next to it and said that was £5. And it was all to do with the patents and where they were held. And I'm sitting there thinking, what a wonderful world it would be if the people who needed these drugs had them and the ones that didn't. But I'm incredibly naive, or practical, depending on how you look at it. Jonathan lets the doctors decide. Oh, Jonathan, that's the last thing I do. Just saying. No medical knowledge, the idea of me making fully informed consent's a challenge. How do they know how many legal voters live at the address? You are on a register poll. So we have what's called the electoral roll. Every September they send you a form. And on this form, there's various categories in it. The biggest category is those over 18 and under, is it 65 or 75?
No idea.
I think it's 65. And the reason that they have the upper age limit is over that age you don't need to do jury duty. So what should be on this form in the first category is anybody who will be 18 in the next electoral year. Then there's the main bit, which is anyone who's over 18 already. And then there's this other bit, which is those who would be available for jury duty and those who would not. So you fill that in and then send that back, and that forms the electoral roll. But in terms of actually going to vote, you know, If I did actually put another person down, they don't ask for any proof at all. So you could have 12 people at the house as far as they're concerned. I think if there's one person or two people at the house, people tend to put one down rather than two, which might sound absolutely ridiculous. But people have chosen, I know plenty, who have chosen to give up their right to vote. Because if there's only one person registered at the address, you get a 25% reduction in your local tax. So there's many single person households where there are way more than one person. But particularly when you've got like an older person who moves in with a partner, it'll be like, oh, don't bother. And then they get 25% off their rates. It's criminal. There should be a much, much better way of doing it, but I think we're on the cusp of them changing it. They're now talking about having to take ID with you, which I personally find totally ridiculous, because what if you haven't got any? The two forms of ID that have a photograph on is your driving licence and your passport. Now, my passport's out of date. I think it's out of date by about 5 years, because I've no intention of going anywhere, so I didn't bother renewing it. And my driving licence is from 1984. So it was like pre-box brownie days. There's no photo on it. So I don't actually have any photo ID. You could probably recognise me off my passport. But that would depend if you check to see if it was in date or not, because it's not. It's out of date. No one being quiet now. You told me to shut up, did I? Don't you remember? Several times.
I was outside.
Yes, well, she doesn't bark in the house, so don't encourage it. She's been very good. Leave her be. If we had a national ID card, then you could use that, but obviously that would bring with it screams of protest. So we don't actually have one. So it's a complete free-for-all. I've no idea how these people get in, because I swear when you look at who gets in, you think there's no way anybody would have voted for them. And yet, there they are. Good evening, Mrs. Simon. Let's have a look. Imagine your signature would have changed in 30 years. It has a bit, Paul. You're right. It has. Still vaguely recognisable, but yes. So can you buy your own drugs without a doctor's prescription? Not supposed to. No. What you can do is get a private doctor's appointment, which can be done on the internet, and get a prescription that way. Or you can import drugs from other countries, shall we say. They come through marked as, I think it was health and beauty products. Obviously, you're wondering how I know that, and I'm just going to leave that there. A letter as a close election saying my vote didn't count. Oh, that's bizarre, isn't it? We don't have to sign anything or anything like that. Conservatives will try that. It favours their voters. They probably will. I mean, all the others want proportional representation, but to be honest, when you look at what happens in a standard election, I would love to ask everybody coming out of the door, do you understand proportional representation? Can you explain it to me? Because people clearly have not a clue. Not a clue. It's only when you find out, do you remember after the Brexit vote, when people were saying, well, I voted that way because I didn't want European football on the TV. And you're thinking, this is a gag, isn't it? And then you look at their face and you think, no, it's not. They really thought that. Yeah, they shouldn't be allowed to vote. Paul votes in person. Yeah, that's what I do. But no, we don't have any signatures or anything like that, because this is going to sound really bizarre if you're abroad. While I'm telling you, you tell me. When you go to vote, when you go into the polling station to vote, who is in charge of checking names and signatures and stuff like that? Are they volunteers? Do they come from different parties? Are they hired for the day? Where do they come from? Who are they? Because ours are volunteers. And would you say they have limited skills? Because I would. Their skill seems to be they can read and put a ruler on a page and draw a line through it, and that's it. There's no way that they would be experienced enough to be comparing signatures and doing anything like that. So it's very on your honour in the UK. And I've thought for years as we go in that it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if you knew that one of your neighbours was away on holiday, then you could say you were them, just go back later. There is literally no checks. You can go and get a free ID. No, we can't. If I wanted to change my driving licence, I'd have to pay, because I haven't moved house. If I'd moved house, I think I would get it for free. But, you know, the driving licence I've got is legit. It's just that people look at it because it's older than they are. But I've never had a need to change it, so I haven't bothered. We don't have to renew our licence at all until we are... Is it 70 now?
I think it is 70, isn't it?
And at 70, you fill in a declaration to say that you are fit and healthy. I'm not sure if you need your doctor to sign it. I can't remember. Dad obviously went through all of that process. And then I think it's every 2 years. But you are basically, again, on your honour to declare, you know, whether there's anything that means you shouldn't drive. It's all very much on your honour over here. But no, you don't have to renew it at all. ID is important when you vote to combat fraud, but we should offer ID for free. Exactly, Jonathan, that's the problem. How much would it cost the government to offer free ID to go and do that? But I think we've got to the state now that it really is a stupid, stupid, stupid system. It's just ripe for abuse and intimidation. But we'll see what happens with it. CQ Deb, how are you doing? There are millions of them. What's this, Jonathan? Let me go and have a look at that link.
Oh, it's a list of different types of election.
Volunteers, mostly retired folk. That sounds pretty much like here, but they don't do much. They literally just sit there and put lines through and put sweets out in a bowl. And there's usually some kind of competition between them. That's the highlight of it. You know, one will put sweets in a bowl and then the other one will put different sweets. And you have to go to one or the other, depending on where you live. So you hope that that one's got the best sweets, although I don't partake of any of them. But that's it. Oh, Simon. naughty, naughty. They make the declaration, you have to sign it, tiny print, make sure you can read it. You can drive. And I remember my father having to fill a form in. That's my only recollection of it. And I think he did it every 2 years. But I'm liking Simon, send your butler to renew it, then you can keep driving until you run over two women in a pushchair. And he would have got away with it after that as well. I don't understand how the PM can call an election. Can you explain that one? Oh, if only that were the case. That anyone can explain it. Let's have a look what Jonathan's put. You used to be able to call an election whenever, so it used to happen anywhere between 3 years and 5 years. But as Jonathan says, we now have a fixed term of 5 years, and that came in with David Cameron in 2010. So he brought that in. So now to get an election, as you've seen, because we had two, didn't we, which were ridiculous, there has to be a vote of no confidence in the government, which can kind of happen where the government doesn't have much of a majority, and some of the government's backbenchers, they are MPs who are not in the cabinet, vote against their own party. But there would have to be somebody voting against their own party. Or, as Jonathan says, 2/3 of Parliament vote for it. They can legislate for it, which requires a simple majority. Don't think they actually went down that route, did they? Did they do that? Eventually, people changed their mind. But basically, Boris tried to do it many, many times because he wanted an election. He thought he'd do well. And he wasn't wrong, really, was he? But we'd had very close elections, I think, three times out of the last four. I don't know whether they would actually do that, Jonathan, because I think, I mean, they could certainly try and get it through. But I think what would happen then, some people who believe more in Parliament than the actual what's going on at the moment might vote against it just so it doesn't become the norm. You know, like the father of the house and the older gents. I can well think of that happening. How many terms can there be in office? Ah, Kim, as many times as they're voted in. So Margaret Thatcher, it was four times, wasn't it? 79, 83, 87 and 90 something. And I think Tony Blair was four times as well, which would have been 97, 2001... Was the other one? Oh, what was he? Only three? I was sure he was four. Somebody help me out here, because Gordon Brown went in 2010. So 97, 2001, yeah, 2005.
Tony Blair.
Would it be 2007 or 2009? I think Tony Blair won four times, but they can just keep going on forever and ever, amen. It's scary. Government could be taken to court. I would have thought, Jonathan, there was no way that would ever happen. But then when the government, well, you remember that woman with the spider brooch, who decides, the Supreme Parliament decided, Supreme Court rather, decided that wasn't on. And I was like, whoa, did not see that one coming. So I don't think it would now. I don't know whether you meant terms as an MP or terms as Prime Minister. But either way, it doesn't matter. Just keep going on and on and on and on. Lady Hale, that was the one.
97, 2001, 2005.
Three, was it?
Yeah.
Was Thatcher four then, or was it three? Because I thought he wanted to stay on as long as she had. She was definitely 79, 83, 87. 91, was she voted out? Was that when Major took over? She has a building named after her at Salford. Be dragging that down next, just saying. The latest was, you couldn't make this stuff up. You know, the Black Lives Matters. Did you see that thing where there was a huge, like, hillside? And this must have happened.
Three.
Oh, it was three then. I thought it was four. Hello, Anthony. Yeah, some bright spark decided it would be a good idea, and I think this was coming in on the back of the Burnley banner on the plane. But how they'd catch this person, I don't know. They'd gone up onto this hillside, and the headline said that they'd written White Lives Matter on it. Now they're after them for a hate crime. But when I looked at the picture, I thought the writing, in inverted commas, they dug out the side of the hillside. Oh no, they were far more subtle than that. They went round probably like 3 to 5 days before you could actually read it and did it with weed killer. So obviously they sprayed it on and there was nothing to see until the grass died. The police are investigating this. Do you know, things were far better when people were in their houses. I mean, I looked at today and this thing was doing the rounds on Facebook, people asking if you were going out to the pub on Saturday night. Mike and I are like, no, when hell freezes over, just saying. But a lot of people that we know also said the same, and we were quite surprised. We thought, you know, they loved going out so much that they would go out straight away. And they weren't going out straight away. But today's news is, despite everybody I know saying they're not going, the government have put emergency rooms, A&Es, on standby for an influx at the weekend. And I'm thinking, like, they've not got enough to do, because today we had 179 COVID deaths. This is up on last week and the week before, and nobody's saying a thing. If you notice, they've stopped showing us the slides. I quite enjoyed the slides. Lady Hale, an absolute legal genius. Although she didn't give the ruling, I agreed with her over the proroguing of Parliament. There's a word that we didn't know a year ago. Proroguing. The verb to prorogue. Proroguing Parliament should have led to prison sentences. It didn't actually lead to anything at all, did it? It was as though, I remember back to that thinking, oh, this is really serious, and nothing happened. It was just, like, ignored. But now, of course, we know that behind the scenes, who was in charge of all this? Dominic Cummings! Unless he was away somewhere. Do you know, I totally agree, Kim. It's not just crime. Over the Father's Day weekend in the UK, which was the 21st of June, there was a horrific car incident. You could say accident, but I don't know whether the person was drinking and driving. But he basically killed three members of the same family who were out for a walk. Then on the BBC News homepage, there were two cases. One was a car that had lost it at some point and had ploughed into somebody else and they were dead. And then there was another car accident thing. And I'm thinking, These could well be people who are rusty from driving. I wouldn't have thought you could get rusty from driving within 2 months. But they did some kind of questionnaire with people and found out that they were. They were forgetting to indicate and all kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking, well, you shouldn't be on the road. So it's not just crime. Some of this is either they're drunk as a skunk and driving, or they're just what's the right word? Not capable of driving at the moment. Maybe they need to go off somewhere quiet and relearn their car.
Much practice.
Yeah, but can you honestly think that would happen?
No.
In 3 months? Because I don't.
No.
When was the last time you were on a push bike?
Years ago.
30 years ago?
Yeah.
I would say 30, 35 years ago for me. But I'm pretty confident if I got on one now, I wouldn't fall off. It's a skill you don't forget.
Kim was a bit rusty driving, she says.
I think if you think you're a bit rusty, then at least it's in your mind to be more careful. But these idiots are not being more careful. I mean, sometimes I remember driving back from Sale. Luckily, that's about 2 miles. Was it before Christmas? I think it was after Christmas, just after Christmas. And I had no idea this would happen. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened because I wouldn't have done it. But I'd not had anything with wheat flour in it at all for 9-10 months. And at Christmas, I figured I'd be okay with a tiny, tiny bit. So I had this tiny, tiny bit of cake. And a day later, I was out shopping with my mum. And my back just totally went. I couldn't move. Literally couldn't move. And she started to panic because she said, "You're the only one that can drive." She decided not to drive. She could physically drive. She was fantastic going backwards. But she was a very nervy driver. She didn't trust anybody else on the road, which I totally understand. So she said, you know, I wouldn't want to. And the other thing was, where I'd parked in the car park, it was a tiny spot in the corner. And nobody else ever wanted to park in this spot because they couldn't get out of it. But you parked on your own in this spot. It was just for one car. And I had no problem getting in and out of it. But I went back to the car and I couldn't move my back.
See you, Johnny.
Good night, Jonathan. And I'm sat in the car and I'm like, how am I going to turn the wheel? And it took me so long to turn the wheel, and then I had to drive back home. So I said, I'm not driving again until I'm fully fit to do so. But I think if you know you're a bit rusty, you'd automatically be careful and you'd automatically go slower. It's the ones that don't. And clearly they are either rusty beyond belief, in which case, it's amazing how they remember their own names, isn't it, these people?
True.
Wait, I mean, what speed must you be going to kill 3 people? One went past last night after you'd gone to bed, probably about 1 o'clock in the morning. It was very quiet out there and he screeched past. I swear he was going faster than that fire engine the other day. And I thought, you know, it's only going to take somebody or a dog to run out of a side road and there's no way he could stop. But this is people for you, which is why I prefer animals. 4 legs, fur. Much better. Anyway, who knows what anniversary it is today? Something tech related.
I do.
It's only because I told you. You wouldn't have known if I hadn't told you.
No.
Oh, what a day. Do you know what I'm going to do? Before I say what it was, I'm actually going to look up in day one. I'll give you a clue and tell you it was 2012. The 1st of July, 2012. And I started my diary in February 2012, which was when Mayo was ill. So I've got the 1st of July. It was a Sunday. Oh, we released. No, we didn't. Yes, we did. We released MacBite 68. And you went out shopping for tech for me, Mike.
And it was the it was the Euro final.
Yes, but do you know what's bizarre in here? I didn't actually mention it.
Oh.
Ooh, what, unless I did it the day before.
The Euro final.
I did it the day before. There you go. The first Retina MacBook Pro. No, Paul. It was actually a sad demise. Well, actually, it wasn't that sad, was it? Because it'd been... It had been horrific. No, the 1st of July 2012 was when Mobile Me was unceremoniously retired. So we all had to do a manual transfer. So looking at my diary from back then, this is comical. I did it the day before. So I did it on Saturday, the 30th of June. I remember actually leaving it till midnight, I think. So my diary says I finally decided to undertake the great Mobile Me transition. Mine went swimmingly. I'd done all the groundwork. Mike's was a complete mess. He had no idea he needed to transfer his contacts manually. Is this coming back to you, Mike?
No.
It all became more complicated as the wrong ones were up in the cloud. The calendars were the old ones and they shouldn't have been transitioned. But at least the mail wasn't too much of an issue. I won't tell you what the last line is, but it involves the S word. Anyway, I got you out of the mess, apparently, according to that. Don't get me started on Mobile Me and multiple Apple accounts. That was my problem, too.
Tell me about it, Pete.
Back then, I had my calendars on my Mobile Me thing, and I just assumed that was the way to go. So I had it on a different email address. I think we had a MacBytes one as well, didn't we? So when it came time to do the shift, I'd done, like I said in that diary entry, about 27 dry runs. So I was confident it would work. I'd tried it on like a free account. Mike hadn't tried it at all and needed me to get his backside out of the fire. But I do remember with the calendars, a lot of people had huge problems with the calendars. One thing I noticed, I've got the link somewhere. Let me get the link. I noticed from this link, if I asked you, here's a question. How many years do you think Mobile Me was around? It was a lot fewer than I thought, I must admit. I'd have guessed about 6 or 7. You got any idea, Mike?
No.
4. It only came in 2008, so obviously...
After .Mac.
When we came to do the Mobile Me thing, we'd already done the .Mac thing, and they were just winding everybody up with how difficult it would be to do the transfer. And there were tutorials out there and all kinds of stuff. And I know a lot of people had done it, and they said they'd lost calendars and things. So I was belt, braces and suspenders, trying to make sure that nothing went wrong. And I did do it many, many, many times just to be sure. But Mike left his till the death and didn't do that. Oh, Anthony, you had foresight, didn't you? You were using Gmail. Got a job advert for a techie job in Seattle. Someone's tracking my browsing history. Well, I did manage to do my transfer from Mobile Me. That would have that must have been when iCloud came in. That'd be about right, wouldn't
it?
Yeah. 2012. We did manage to do all of that, but we only used it for another 6 years. And then we followed Anthony's lead. It was terrible. we moved... Well, that was what was a bit weird with it. And this is where Pete's problem comes in. American or UK suspenders. I'll let you choose, Paul. Either or both. My problem was, which made me seriously think about how to deploy, because there's like 3 things, isn't there? Possibly 4. But there is your calendar, your mail and your contacts and possibly notes. Although I've never actually considered notes to be part of like the trio. I think of mail, contacts and calendars. I know notes can live in your email, but I don't think of them. I put those elsewhere. So the core 3, my problem was the same as Pete's. Because my calendars and my contacts were on iCloud then. So they'd been on .Mac, then they'd been on Mobile Me, and then they were on iCloud. I'd ended up with my contacts and my calendars on iCloud and my mail on Gmail. And I actually wanted... It wasn't too bad initially. And then they started niggling away at it. And it ended up that if your email, your Apple iCloud email, wasn't the same as your genuine email, then how could somebody who sent you a meeting request have access to your calendar? And what you were supposed to do was add your email address to iCloud, because you could add email addresses. But what you couldn't do was use an email address that was allocated to Google. So I had this disconnect where I had requests coming in for meetings that I couldn't actually put on my calendar direct from the request, because it was coming into one email address and my calendar was set up under my iCloud address. And it was just plain annoying. And it wasn't until, I mean, for 6 years we put up with that, didn't we? And the final sort of nails in the coffin were, who remembers the spam, the calendar spam? Because that's still there to this day. I've just had a message, Mike, from Carolyn. Thank you so much. My mum's in her element listening to 196. We've done a spec. It's Kath's birthday today. And she's outside in their hot tub. They've just had a hot tub put in. She's brave in this weather. I hope the water is hot. And we've put a whole show together for her to celebrate her birthday. 2 hours, 40 minutes of all her favourites. And she's in the hot tub enjoying it. That's good to hear. Excellent. So this calendar spam came through and they sort of dealt with it, but not quite. Then they were down for 2 weeks and the appointments were coming up and then disappearing. And I said to Mike, we couldn't be worse off if we moved. But I think mentally you've got this thing of, it's an Apple device, it's an iPhone, it's an iPad, it's an iMac. I should probably stick with Apple. But we went to that cricket match and I worked it through in my head. And I thought, let's just try it. How bad can it be? Because I've done it that many times, I know every nuance of moving. And I did, and you know, we've not looked back. Gone are the days when, you know, stuff just disappeared randomly for 2 weeks and then randomly reappeared again. And everything just does work well. The added benefit of having your contacts, calendars and email together is that all of the apps that stopped working suddenly started working again. So I'm thinking of things like Spark, and there was another email client on iOS that worked similar to Spark. Was it Airmail back in the day? Outlook. And when I say worked properly, what I mean there is, it used to work great that you could add an account and tell it was a calendar account, or it was a contacts account, or it was an email account. And you could have multiple accounts. So I would have my Apple account, which had my calendar and contacts, and my Google account, which had my mail. And then that broke. And I think it was a deliberate break from Apple, because it broke globally. So I'm saying to Mike, you know, a week ago I had Spark sat there and I could see my calendar and I could see my contacts, I could see my email addresses, and now I can't see a thing. Yeah, I've got the email in there and that's it. All of that came back when I moved the contacts and calendars to Google. But I will admit, it was a big decision to make. Not that I couldn't go back if I wanted to, just like, would it break catastrophically? So obviously backups were made and I did have the ability to roll it back. But everything worked much, much better after that. So I can have one account added to Outlook and everything comes through. The calendars, the contacts, the mail, the whole lot. I just wish Apple had got their act together. I mean, if they think that iCloud is perfect, they are delusional. And that inability to merge accounts is beginning to look, I mean, that's been around since Mobile Me, hasn't it? So my first recollection of that was 2006, and it sounded a bit weird. You know, it sounded like, oh, they'll surely get round to that. Maybe it might take 6 months, or maybe it might take a year. I can't believe 14 years on, we're still sitting here saying that that can't happen, particularly given, I mean, technically it can happen. It's Apple's choice for it not to happen. But it gives you huge problems when you've bought an app on the account that you needed to buy it on at the time, but now you could really do with it on another one. And if you think of, you know, small things like 99 pence, maybe you'd rebuy it, because that's where you were at, wasn't it? Mm. So I always tell Mike if there's a deal on something that I found, in case either I had it and he didn't have it, or we'd done a family share or something, or he had it but on his other account. So if you've got an app and it's like, you know, 19.99, but today it's 99 pence, it's one way to get it on the right account. But obviously there are things that will never be available like that. And I'm thinking things like Final Cut Pro and Logic. You do not want to be rebuying those. I have never even anecdotally heard of anybody who had managed to get through to somebody at Apple and get them to transfer it, to actually do that. Has anybody else heard that? Because I certainly haven't. But, I mean, it must be able to be done. Because I did speak to Apple about, do you remember the three questions that you used to have, Mike, with the hideously long answers?
Mm.
They did away with that, didn't they, on the two-factor?
Yeah.
But at the point that you were changing, you had to put in the answer to the questions, you were doing the two-factor, mine went wrong and I had to get on to Apple. And I needed to give her the answers to these questions. And we got through it all. And she managed to, you know, push a button at her end and said, it's fine now. Which to me is like, in that case, if you can do that, I've just proved that who I am to you on that account. If I can prove who I am to you on two accounts, why can't you transfer my purchase of Final Cut Pro from one account to the other? That must be able to be done, because they just check the first account and say, oh yeah, you bought that in 2012. Here's the other account. Right. I'll just click purchase for free on that one. I'll take it away from the other one. You're good to go. But they won't even do that. Would it make you feel much warmer and fuzzier about Apple if they did? Because I just think it's incredibly mean. I think it's expecting you to understand the nuances of their own inability or unwillingness to be flexible with accounts. There's no, you may have had one account because you were at school or college and now you've got a different account and you'd much rather have it on that. There should be an automated way of doing it, but at the very least, a kind of manual thing. Couldn't they have, like United do, the amnesty for season ticket holders?
Mm.
When did they have that? About 10 years ago?
I bet every year, don't they?
Do they? Well, United didn't have this amnesty. Good night, Pete. Controlling Apple accounts induced hypertension. Sorry about that. I'm coming up with solutions, though. We just need Apple to adopt them. Then everything would be fine. United needed an amnesty on season tickets because they had some season ticket holders who were in their 150s. Because families had hung on to season tickets in the name of deceased relatives for about 40 years. So they had this amnesty. And it all got organised. Now, Mike's saying they have one every year. I didn't think they have one every year.
Well, it seems like it.
Probably every 2-3 years, maybe. Yeah. But it's acknowledging, you know, circumstance. Why don't Apple do that? They could have a month, you know, like their quietest month, where they allocate some staff and give you a number to ring or a process to go through and just merge Apple accounts. If I was being cynical, I'd be thinking, if people were merging Apple accounts, you know this when they say we've got a user base of 390 million, would it halve? Is that why they don't want to do it? Because how many of these accounts must be all but dead? I mean, I never use mine now. I've got an iCloud account that was my .Mac account. Because with your .Mac account, back in the day, that was totally separate, wasn't it? You had your email, your name at mac.com or your choice of name at mac.com, which got translated through to MobileMe. So you were then whoever at me.com and then you were whoever at iCloud.com. I really don't see a problem with that, but that's just me. Kim, wish I worked for Apple. I would say I would, but I'm quite happy having the ideas and then they can run with them. We have joked a couple of times that we think Tim Cook listens. Timmy, little Timmy. The first time we saw that was a WWDC, probably about, maybe 7 years ago now, 7 or 8 years ago. And we sat down to watch this WWDC, and the curtains opened on the stage, and there was a screen on the stage. And we looked at each other. Oh, fair enough. And then two iPhones started talking to each other. And we looked at each other and went, that's Mac by Siri. And Lady Siri. So we wondered, had they nicked the idea off us? But there's been a couple of things like that where I've said, like, why don't they do this? And then they do. But this merging of Apple accounts, they just seem to be stubbornly not doing it. I remember saying to Mike, you know, when you're trying to set something up, I'm very careful with email addresses. I kind of think, well, keep everything under one email address. But there are one or two things where I don't do that. I had to give an email address to, no, I think it was the tax service. It's either the tax or VAT, one or the other. And I had no choice. You know, this system was, you needed to give an email address. And I said to Mike, I'm not giving them my email. I will give them another email that I use for nothing else. It's the only way I would know that the mail was genuinely from them. Oh, I think it was Companies House. It's the government anyway.
Could have been.
One part of the government. And there was no other way to do it. You needed to give them an email address. And I don't give them an email address. The bank hasn't got an email address. If you don't need an email address, you haven't got one. And if you don't need a phone number, you haven't got one. In fact, if you do need a phone number, you've probably got my old one. I still put that down. Oh. But it would be nice if they acknowledged that not everybody got it right from day one. And it wasn't even their fault. I mean, I remember coming back, because the other thing I was going to talk about was how much it cost. Do you remember how much a Mobile Me subscription cost?
No.
Because iCloud went free, didn't it?
About 60 quid a year.
A .Mac account was 49 a year. Or 69 for a family one. But a Mobile Me was £99. Can you imagine paying £99 for that garbage? I mean, that meant we spent in 4 years £400 each on absolute tosh. It was useless. We might as well have just used the other one. It was absolute. When you think that's what Google give you for free, and the difference with Google is it actually works. We paid for the privilege of annoying ourselves. And I still have my old .mac.me.iCloud address. Don't really use it for much now, if anything. But Mike's still juggling with two. And the only reason that I had, right back when I created my Apple ID, the only reason I had the right email address was that I created my Apple ID before I got a Mac. Before I bought .Mac. And the only reason I was creating an Apple ID, and in fact, I didn't even know it was an Apple ID I was creating. I was trying to log into iTunes for the first time ever. I'd never used iTunes. But I knew on this particular day, which was either a Thursday or a Friday, before I got my first Mac on the Saturday, that, you know, Apple, iTunes, iPod, want. And I did create this account and I logged in, and it just happened fortuitously for me that became my Apple ID. But so many people, I dread to even say, made a mistake, because it wasn't a mistake on their part. They followed, oh, an Apple ID, and you've got your .Mac, it might as well be that. And then, double whammy, you get hit by the fact that now your stuff's on the wrong account and you can't do anything about it.
Sounds like Stuart's listening as well.
Yes, it does. Separate domain, Elaine's burner email address, and wildcard them. The thing was, this one that I needed to give one to, you know, I thought it better be one that I can get access to in the future. I think things have improved a bit in terms of trust. Yeah, I think you can trust people a little bit more now because of the GDPR. You know, they may become down on like a ton of bricks. But what you can't really stop is the spam. I did put the plus stuff on it, but I had a problem doing that. There were certain things. Gmail does do that. It allows you to put your before the at with a plus sign and then you can put anything after it. The problem is not every service allows a login with that. They don't allow the plus sign in an email address. And when that's filtered out, you're knackered. I also found you could put a dot something, but the dot was actually ignored. So if you had an email address like firstname.surname@gmail.com, you could actually do it without the dot and it would be fine. And I didn't know that when I created it. It's not bad for rules, though. If you wanted to just sling a dot in, you could do that. But I just think the way Apple have gone about it is not helpful. It shows a great disregard because you're looking at a heck of a lot of money that people could have on an account that they really, really, really don't want to use anymore. And plus the fact, Apple have taken time, energy and effort building in the capability to use two Apple IDs. If they put as much effort into merging them, we'd have it done by now. I just find that such a mess. Very, very annoying. You could script to remove it. Easy to work around. I'm not too bad with mine. I do get spam, but I would say Google's pretty good at filtering it out. Very, very, very few get through. And conversely, very few real mails end up in the spam. Only give to friends, companies and organisations and another for everything else. I have one of those, but don't even think Mike's got it. It's that secure. It's the one where I need to know it's absolutely genuine. If it's something from the government or financial bodies. And no, I am not including the bank in that. They're not trusted, full stop. Just saying. But it's a shame, isn't it? You've got to go to this. You get a few emails in your inbox. I actually do get a lot of emails, I must admit. But I have quite a complicated thing going on with Google. Probably more complicated than I need. And sometimes, like today, I think, oh, there's too much mail in here. But I did actually make a comment to Mike and he looked horrified. I inadvertently opened Outlook for some reason. And Outlook has what it calls a focused inbox. And I don't like automated things like that. But I looked at it and I said to Mike, do you know, this is actually pretty accurate. And he went, I don't like that, turned it off. And I said, well, I turned it off, but it's turned itself back on. But looking at it, wasn't actually bad. In fact, didn't Outlook bring out a new interface for the Mac and now you can't do other stuff? Wasn't it you couldn't get to your calendar or something with the new interface? You've got mail, you've got, oh, hang on, there's the calendar. Have we got people? No, your people, tasks and notes are only available in old Outlook on the Mac, unfortunately. So half of the thing is missing, which not good. Not good. And there's black text and very, very dodgy colours in the calendar view. But the mail aspect of it, I don't think it's bad at all. I really don't think it's bad at all. Looking at this, what it's found is in the focused inbox, it's got a couple of mails from Frank. Frank's the guy who always sets me a challenge. So it knows that that is from a person that I would email. It's got a WorldPay transaction because I had to buy something the other day. It's got one from Paddle, so it's worked that out. It's got messages from my form on my website, so it's picked that up. So actually, I would say it is pretty accurate. I guess you'd have to look at what's in the non-focused inbox and see should any of that be in the focused inbox. But to be honest, looking at it, no, it shouldn't. So I'm actually impressed with that. Having said that, I'll look at it, open it, look at it and say, yeah, it's nice that, and then close it. I wish it was fully functional and I don't know why at this stage it's not. But I thought, wow, 8 years. I remember doing all of the dance with the calendars, but I would never have thought it was that long ago. The banks keep getting hacked. You don't trust them. Neither do I, Kim, so I don't give them that. Don't you trust Mike? Oh, I trust Mike. Thing is, though, you know, you give somebody your email, somebody that you trust, and they put an app on their phone, and the app on their phone, like the LinkedIn one does, repeatedly says, would you like to link up with your contacts? Give us access to your contacts. And they say yes, and that's how somebody else gets your email. So actually, if it's really, really, really important, like I consider this one to be, then no, nobody has it. And the rest of it, I'd rather just manage the one email and create rules and stuff like that. Like I made that rule to give me notifications, but only from very, very specific email addresses. So I get a notification from the Scrivener Beta program. I get notifications if Mike sends me a mail, and I get notifications from the church, and I think that's it. So literally only three. Now, Mike sits there and his watch is buzz, 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 buzz. If you wanted notifications for every mail, great, then you've got them. But I just think even in your mind, you'd have notification exhaustion, and you'd probably miss something that you do consider to be important in the midst of the 3,000 things that actually aren't important, but you've not set up. Well, they actually don't make it easy, do they? To set up selective notifications, you'd have to do it yourself manually.
I keep getting LinkedIn invites from my boss.
Have you not hooked up with him yet?
No.
It's going to keep happening, Mike. I've had loads of LinkedIn stuff from people I know but don't want to know that well. That's the thing. I do get notifications from LinkedIn. Obviously, I've got a LinkedIn account, so I don't think with LinkedIn it would actually do any harm. They would have this particular email. But that's how it happens. Another one is WhatsApp. I didn't have WhatsApp for years and years. And in the end, I had to, because the priest wanted to send me a load of photos. And he's on Android. So they'd have to have gone as, is it multimedia messages? And they're like 50p each. So he said, oh, well, aren't you on WhatsApp? And I thought, oh, for crying out loud. So I went on WhatsApp, which is just as well, because we've got loads of groups on there now, but that's not the point. This was a while ago. But anybody who installs WhatsApp, to make it work, you have to give it access to your contacts. So that's how things fly around, isn't it? And to be honest, WhatsApp's worse than LinkedIn. Because with WhatsApp, it's got your phone number. LinkedIn has your email, but WhatsApp has your phone number. And I don't put my phone number anywhere. And I've noticed, after going on WhatsApp, I will get more duff calls than I ever would before. I mean, if my phone rings, well, 9 times out of 10, in fact, 10 times out of 10 now, Mikey's sat next to me. It's spam. And I don't even bother picking it up. If it's got a number on it that I don't recognise, it might say, like, from Leicester or from Norwich or something like that, Birmingham. And I'm like, well, I don't know anybody there. If I want to hear from you, I would probably have your number. And then it will flash up and tell me who it is rather than where it is. That just annoys me. Really does annoy me. Does anyone have any idea?
Yeah, it's spam. It's probably Yahoo.
From a friend just to say hi, followed by a little spam.
Yeah, I get them, Anthony.
Pretty much Google filters those out, though, I will say that.
Yeah, they do end up in my spam, though.
Mm. Yeah, but you know, even going through your spam, you could be there forever, couldn't you? I do get repeated mails from a friend I've known for years, known this woman 20 years, and her email address is at Yahoo. And you'll get a message through, and it'll have like a duff link in it. And obviously how it's happened, she's not sent it, but Yahoo is just... Who would have a Yahoo email address these days? It's just not secure. Inherently, it's not secure. Those have a link in as well, so I just ignore them.
Yeah, that's what they are, Anthony.
We shouldn't be dealing with this in this day and age, should we? Can't even blame Apple for that one, unfortunately. I did have a question for you. You can answer this as well, Mike.
Can I?
Yes. Hmm. Yes, you can. Giving you permission. There you go. Do you annotate PDFs? Either with a pen or digitally. Do you annotate PDFs?
I have been known to.
And what do you do? Is it highlight? Do you draw boxes round? Do you put arrows on? Do you scribble on it? Do you add notes to it? How do you do it?
A bit of both.
You would, wouldn't you? I was wondering what annotating PDFs meant to people. Asking for a reason.
Asking for a friend.
No, asking for a reason.
Highlighting, usually.
I have highlighted a lot of stuff in PDFs. But I'm thinking about that and thinking, you know, does it ever see the light of day again?
No.
Do you ever do anything with the highlights?
No.
Do you go back and, like, reread the highlights? or reread the item?
No, it's just something to highlight at the time.
Oh, Simon! We need to introduce you to Ransom Font. It's a classic. So you've used the comment box and Kim's underlined. PDF markup done properly is superb. It is. It is. I'm just thinking. I do it a lot. I'm a proactive reader. I can't just read. I have to underline or highlight or put comments on it. I started with GoodNotes and I moved to PDF Expert on iOS. There are a million apps that can do it. Some are compatible with each other, some aren't. So there's one called Skim and Skim isn't. InDesign can now action well-commented PDF corrections. Thing is, you've got to rely on people to make the well-commented PDF corrections, haven't you?
That's an interesting point from Anthony, if he's proofreading. Because what I tend to do is use the sticky note thing. Is that annotating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's also the point I was going to make is so many of these apps have got different tools.
Different ways of doing it.
Yeah. Some of them have tools which you kind of try and draw a circle-ish or an oval and it will twang so it looks much neater. Other ones won't have that, but they'll have something else. And I was wondering what kind of stuff people did and why, basically. And the and why part is like, if I'm highlighting something, it's probably something that I want to repurpose in something. So maybe I'm researching, I don't know, underwater basket weaving, the classic. And I'll highlight something that I think would be pertinent to my training course in underwater basket weaving, something that I want to say or a demo that I want to give. And sometimes I will actually put text, type text on there or handwriting on it. But I'm actually thinking, to what degree do people go back to the original PDF and then actually process through the annotations that they've made? And even me, and I'm a voracious reader, I don't think I go back more than sort of 20 to 25% of the time. I know they'd still be there if I did go back to them. And sometimes I've worked through an entire book and I've highlighted things. And at the end of it, I won't really do anything at all with that. It isn't something I'll make a course of. It's just something that I'm learning for me to use. In those circumstances, then you can just kind of archive it off and you're dealt with. But I was just wondering. Because I'm thinking about a demo and I'm wondering. So Kim goes back a lot. I would imagine for genealogy you would. So that kind of makes sense. Simon says, I hate it when you get a word that needs to be changed. Rather than selecting the word and supplying the replacement word you get, can we change this to something like, do we even give you a replacement phrase? Yeah, that happens a lot. That happens a lot. That, of course, is relying on other people to do the annotating. And, you know, nothing annoys me more than when you've got like one person using green and then to mean something. So you're like, change this is green. And then the next person's using bright purple for change this. But I guess it's just a way of having a way to work. In that case, I think this demo that I'm contemplating might prove useful. It's really relating to not just marking it up, but actually repurposing it and taking it to the next level, that you've done your research and then you take it to the next level by actually doing something with it. Oh, poor Simon. You might want to check the second paragraph, but don't tell you what's wrong with the second paragraph. That's true. And do you know what annoys me? The you might want to check. That bit annoys me. As though, like, what they're saying is, you're a half-wit, second paragraph's awful, and you're looking at it thinking, well, what's wrong with it? I don't know. Because you wouldn't have taken it to the point of sending it for review if you thought there was anything wrong with it. There's sometimes when I'm like, I'm not sure about that bit. I am not sure about that bit. But what I'll do is I'll highlight it, and then I'll put a comment on it, and then send it to Mike. Interesting, but I think we've potentially got a demo there. Whether it'll be Friday or not depends on how I get on tonight with it. Ooh, we got ice cream, Mike.
Yeah.
It's oppressively warm enough to have some ice cream, I'm thinking. Well, I take it you're not thinking that.
No.
Oh, That's just mean.
No, it's not.
What are you thinking of then?
Not thinking of anything.
Oh, did you get your wine?
My waistline.
You're thinking of your waistline.
What wine?
Oh, are you out of wine?
I've got one bottle.
Oh, and you're saving that for emergencies?
Yeah.
When you next have to think about your Apple ID?
No, saving it for somebody's birthday when I can't get any.
Oh, it's Kath's birthday. You could have a drink today. Oh.
No, when I have to give them a present.
Oh, right. No, we sent Kath through the post. Oh, Anthony's got some frozen yoghurt. We have got some... that would be nice with it, Mike.
The frozen fruit.
The frozen fruit to try it. You guys persuaded...
Do you eat it frozen or do you defrost it?
You defrost it.
Right.
But it wouldn't take long to defrost. I mean, it's raspberries, isn't it? Raspberries and blackberries. So it would be defrosted probably 2 seconds after you take it out of the freezer.
Well, I split it up into several bags.
Oh, isn't he organised? You see me, fruit, sling, into the freezer. But Mike, no, that's actually a good idea, isn't it? Because otherwise I'd have had to take a chisel to it.
That's why I did it. Same with bread.
He's so organised. Yes, but I'm like that with all the tech things. How many times do I get your backside out of the fire with the tech things?
Just a few.
Just a
few. Name sex.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Haven't heard the end of that for 20 years.
No, you've not. They'll wonder what name sex is.
They know what name sex is. We discussed it on a previous marooned.
It was a... In your defence...
Excel file called name sex.
I was just about to say...
Because you can only have 8 characters.
Exactly. You could only have 8 characters.
All of us will remember that except Johnny, and he's gone.
No, that's true, actually.
Johnny only started using a computer in the 90s, probably.
When it was civilised to do so. Not when you had to try and squeeze your file names into 8 characters and 3. Oh, what fun we had.
When I was at the police...
Do you need to clarify when you were working for the police?
Yeah, I thought I told them, but maybe not. About 20 years ago, I worked for 3 years for the police on a project doing IT training. So I wasn't an officer and I certainly wasn't banged up in the cells. Yeah. Having said that, I handed my notice in a cell. Because it was during the time that we stopped delivering the training and we were providing support to the officers who we'd been training in the new system that they just launched. And we were in the police station and I said to my boss, have you got a second? So we wandered into this empty cell.
Did you do?
And I told him that I'd got another job. No, one of the girls who was on that project... Because, like, you know, I was a geek. I'd been using computers since the late 80s. And she kept saying, I've only been using a computer since 1995.
Oh, that is so funny, that Petrocelli thing. It reminds me of GoldenEye. My mum loved Pierce Brosnan. She'd watched all of the Remington Steels. And she couldn't wait for him to be Bond. And my gran was in hospital and I'd taken her up to visit her. And I'm sat in the car working and I've got the radio on. And the news comes on and there were 2 stories. One was that Mark McManus, who played Taggart, had died. And the other was that Pierce Brosnan had been cast as Bond. So she comes out and I said, you're not going to believe it. And she went, what? I said, Pierce Brosnan's been cast as Bond. So I followed the making of GoldenEye verbatim. There were whatever pictures came out the lot, and then we went to see it, and there's this bit in it where one of the girls, there were 2 girls, one was the baddie and one was the goodie. Well, the goodie went into this, I think it was in Russia, a computer shop in Russia, and she says, I want to see the best computers, and he takes her out, and they're on about a 28.8 modem in it. It was a scream, and you watch it now and you think, yeah, maybe they should have left that bit out. Because it dates it so, so badly.
When I started training in 1989, we had IBM XTs or 80s with 1 meg hard drives in.
Does that count as a hard drive?
Yeah.
GoldenEye computer shop. Let's see if I can find it.
And we had this virus checker app that you had to run off... off the machine, and the file name, because obviously you used to type DOS file names in those days because they were like .exe or .bat files. The file name was Find Viru because you could only have 8 characters.
what? Maybe I'll have to put scene on the end of this. I'm getting computer shops called Golden, I believe it or not.
Yeah, probably get Chinese takeaways.
There it is. Oh, this is actually on Facebook. Oh, how weird. 14.4 modems it was. Somebody's put, I'll take the link and give it to you, but it says, remember that scene in Goldeneye when Natalia goes into a computer shop and asks for the latest technology? It was an IBM compatible computer with a 500 meg hard drive, a CD-ROM and a 14.4 modem. Oh, put the link in for that. Fabulous, fabulous. For storage with a massive 10 meg hard drive. It's scary when you look back. I had a 40 gig hard drive for my documents, and I must have had that about 4 years. And I moved from a 40 gig, I think, to like 120. And I'm now up to 8 terabyte drives just for data. It's scary. But then you see the size of data that you can make with one file. Think like Camtasia, and it's not surprising, actually, is it? Oh, I've got a video after that of a dog reacting to a magic trick, so I need to watch that later as well. Oh, I'm liking that. So I'm hoping for some ice cream, but I might not get any because Mikey might be in a mood. We'll see how that goes.
Why am I in a mood?
Because you're looking after yourself instead of having ice cream. Turn the monitor brightness down by 10% and say we're cleaning it. Oh my God. I do remember one that it was an app. It was free and it was supposed to fix dead pixels. And how it did it was by flashing like lines and patterns on the screen repeatedly. I have no idea if it ever worked for anybody. It didn't work for what I was trying it for. A dedicated 1 meg internet connection. I remember having that at college and thinking that was fabulous. And considering what I had at home, it actually was. They had a dedicated ISDN link, and I think they doubled it, so it was 128 meg. And, you know, with what you had at home, you thought it was amazing. I never thought the day would come you would have a gigabit connection like we have now. Oh, we are so blessed. We are very, very lucky. And I'm about to be more blessed by having some ice cream. But we will be back with you, same time, same place, tomorrow, when I may have more news on what I'm contemplating with the PDF annotation thing. And what else did I have? Possibly the entire running order for Friday. We'll see how that goes. I need to have a conversation with Mike before he heads off to bed. See, I headed off to bed about 5:30 this morning, but Mike was getting up about 5:30 this morning. So we need to have 5 seconds between you going to bed and me going to bed. But as I say, we will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Happy 1st of July. Thank you, Kim. Happy 1st of July to you too. Only 3 more days to Independence Day. That's another thing we need to sort out. We've got so many songs. I've got to get them all in a good order. Really looking forward to Saturday night. Should have some well-bopping songs, shouldn't we?
Yes.
Well-bopping. That's a technical term. But for the moment, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.